the title of this talk actually comes from Vicki Bali's Epic Grandfathers group, and the fact that Developer has been around for, you know, it's been 11 years, something like that. I think I'm going to wait a couple of minutes until just give people a little bit longer to trickle in. So I do hope to have as many people here for this talk as possible, just to, you know, indoctrinate some folks on some ideas. About a year and a half. It turns out that sort of unexpectedly, we started making some larger changes to DevHelper that have happened in the past 7 or 8 years of its existence. And one other thing, if I say DevConf accidentally during this talk, I mean DevHelper. And just for other people's information, when I referred to deprecating DevHelper yesterday, I was referring to DevConf. I do tend to get them confused. I have no plans to deprecate DevHelper at this time. So, you should all be familiar with this, I hope. This is pretty much how your Debian rules file has looked for 10 years or so. Now, what happened to me last year is I was looking at this and I realized, hey, there's some code duplication here. So, let's refactor it. And so the idea here is that DH binary arch just runs everything that your binary arch target would do. So that's simple enough to write. And that's DH. It went into DevHelper 7.0 back in last year. And when you use DH for an entire rules file, you come up with something that looks something like this. So for every target, for every standard target, you run DH. And you just give it the name of the target. Now you might ask, what about dependencies between targets? What happens if I run the binary arch target and I haven't run build yet? And the answer to that is that DH is intelligent and tries to figure out behind your back, basically, what you've already done and what it needs to do next, even without targets in there. Now, if you want to, you can put targets in there, you can put stamp files and all that kind of thing like you've had before, but the fact is that you don't need any of them. And the nice thing about that is that we can notice, hey, there's code duplication in this file. Let's refactor it. And so if you're not familiar with make pattern rules, what this does is the percent up here stands for any of the rules in that file. The punctuation here stands for the name of the rule. So basically, if we run Debian rules build, this is going to run DH build. And if we run Debian rules binary, run DH binary, etc. So with that change, some interesting changes began to happen to the length of the rules files in Debian. Unfortunately, I didn't collect historical data here, so it's just the current data. And to understand this graph, going up, we have the percentage of rules files of a given length. Going along the side, we have the length of the rules files, starting at 5 over here, which you can't read, and going up to 100 and more lines. Now, the red line here is CDDS, which, as you can see, is really good at making the rules file be under 5 lines, maybe 10 lines, something like that, and then trails off down. And if you look at traditional DevHelper, which is the black line here, you see that it's really good at optimizing the rules files around 40 lines, 55 lines, something like that, and then sort of trails down, and it almost parallels the length of other, which is the small percent of packages that don't use DevHelper or anything else, they just do it all by hand. And those tend to be longer toward the long end. Interestingly, they tend to be shorter toward the short end. And there's that interesting little hump over here, which I suspect is things that use Yotter or something like that, and I didn't bother to filter those out. So there might be some interesting, weird short rules files out there that I didn't grep for properly. So, of course, DH is the remainder of the graph, a really tall hump there. 45%, almost 50% for pools files that use DH clock in somewhere between 15 and 20 lines. And then there's a previous hump, 15% or so, actually, you know, somewhere in that area, or 2 lines to 5 to 10 lines. Now there's a reason for the two humps, and that is that if you go back, you have two different variants of the rules file we can use DH. So that's simple enough to understand. Okay, this is market share of the various tools after DH has been around for a year or so. As you can see, it's gotten almost 10% of use. CDS, I forget what it was at last year, but it was somewhere around 25%. I think I probably eroded it a small amount, but it's probably also gained some more followers. And developer, of course, is most of the rest. There is that 3% of weirdos. So, what does DH command do? It's really easy to figure out what DH is going to do, exactly which commands it's going to run, and the exact order that it's going to run them in. You just tell it to run the command to do no act. You have to run this inside a actual source package or it's going to complain at you. But it's useful to see what it actually does. And when we look at what it does, we see these DH auto commands, which you might not be familiar with, or you might be. These were heavily added to DevHelper to support DH. So, what do these things do? Well, they basically figure out what they need to do to build a given source package and magically do it, is the short answer. So, if we have an auto prompt using source package, they'll run configure, and then they'll run make. And then when they want to test it, well, some source packages just make tests, some use make check, and they magically somehow figure out which target to run and run it, and if there's an error, report an error, which is sort of tricky to do with make, actually. It's almost impossible, but we did figure out a way to do it. Now, if you have a Python package, they'll do something completely different, like this. And there's currently, I think, no generalized test suite for Python. So they don't run the test step. There's no configuration. They just run setup.py and they pass it various things. And I think I'm missing a clean there. I think that's an OpenOffice bug because it's actually in the source. Okay, so for Perl, they might do something like this, or they might do something completely different. Perl has lots of different ways to build. There's more than one way to do it. But they'll do something, and it's probably the right thing, but it might not be. So, the interesting thing about DH Auto is it's designed to work for the common case, a case like this. You need to build the package by running configure and running make. It's been like that forever. These tools can handle that pretty well. What about something like this? You need to build the package, pass it arbitrary arguments to configure. When you run make, you have to do some other weird thing. You obviously can't use DH build for this because they have no idea how to do it. So how do we handle this case? Here's one way. You can say, let's override DH auto configure. And when we do, we'll pass in this without kitchen sink parameter. Let's override DH auto build. And when we do, we won't even run the DH auto build command. We'll just run whatever make commands we like. And the thing you need to realize about this is these override targets are run by DH build, and it sort of figures out behind your back, hey, your rules file has these override targets in it. I'll run them. And that's override targets went in February of this year. Here's some more examples of it. You can handle lots of the standard cases that you may be familiar with, like needing to make a file set UID. DHFixFirms, of course, clears all the set UID bits just to make sure that none creep in by accident. So you can override that, run DHFixFirms as normal, and then go back in and make something set UID if you need to. There's other examples. Passing various options of commands is fairly common. Down here at the bottom, I put one in. I remember that at one point, let's see, something like this, because it was known to not work on some architectures. And they wanted to see the test suite results even though they knew it was going to fail. So you can basically, I think, these overrides are pretty powerful. They let you do all kinds of configuration and customization of your rules file and still use DH. Here's a completely real-world example for the IkiWiki package. This is the complete rules file, and we can see that There's really not too much customization needed here. There's a little bit of weirdness around how to clean up. I don't want to compress files in the HTML directory because breaking some links. And I've cast some weirdness configure for who knows what reason. But the thing that I like about this is when you look at the rules file, you see exactly how this thing is different from every other package out there. Really quickly, there's nothing in the rules file except for the differences, which I think is really handy. You can just say, oh, three differences, okay, I know what they are. And this is a graph of the frequency that various commands are overwritten currently in the archive. So I'm happy about this graph because all these down here are the dhauto commands, which are basically designed from the beginning to be overridden, because I know that I obviously can't figure out how to handle these cases in all cases. So they're frequently overridden. And then, you know, there's things like VH install change logs that people frequently need to pass parameters to. So it's pretty common to override that. I'm not really sure why so many people are overriding VH install. Maybe they want to pass a few of the weird parameters it has. That's a pretty, one other thing I like about this is I can now grep the archive and figure out when DevHelper isn't working for people, when they have to pass in weird parameters and things like that, and just get some easy idea of it just by looking at the overrides. So that's helpful for me to make DevHelper better later. So, when I was making this DH thing, I did run into a little problem, which is that we have three programs that handle Python. Now, one of them is actually in DevHelper, and it's completely, you know, obsolete. But there are the other two, DHPySupport and DHPyCentral, and there's really no consensus which one we use, but I did need to make one be used by default, because otherwise I wouldn't support Python packages, which didn't seem like a really good design choice. And I arbitrarily chose DHPySupport, but that also didn't seem like a really good design choice. So, here's a way to use my conceptual. Now, you could do it with the override, and I think that's perfectly valid way to do it. The overrides actually were developed after the second system, which is just saying, run the build, but run it with Python Central. Now, how's that work? It's called a sequence add-on, and I developed it pretty soon after I developed the original DH, before I did overrides. So, here's some of the sequence add-ons that are available now. I don't even know what some of these do. For example, with bash completion, I'm not really sure. I think it adds some DevHelper command to your command sequence that installs bash completion files. The Haskell dev scripting is very complicated. The most interesting one there is probably with quilt. And I think there are probably more in the archive. I didn't really do a complete grep. The key point, though, is that all these, with the exception of with Python Central, are add-ons. They're not even included in DevHelper. Somebody's gone off and written them. And that's encouraged. And it's as easy as writing a very short Perl module, something like this. What this does is, this is the actual implementation of with Python Central in DevHelper. And all it says is, find where DH Perl is in the sequence that you're going to run. If it's in there, put in DHPyCentral, and then just take out DHPySupport. And this makes sure that DHPyCentral is in a reasonable place. It also makes sure that even if DHPySupport isn't enabled for some reason, we still get PyCentral. Here's a really complicated example from Haskell DevScripts, which adds all kinds of weird commands to various points in the sequence that DHAuto runs. And what I really like is they go before DHCompress. They add dhcompress-x.haddock, and then they remove dhcompress, which apparently works, but that's the kind of thing that I think might break. Although I guess I'll have to keep it working now that I know about it. So here's the usage pattern for dh sequence add-ons. And I thought this was really interesting, especially since the quilt one has only been around for like 2 months or something like that. There's obviously a lot of demand out there from people in Debian to be able to use quilt in their packages easily. And the nice thing about the quilt one is you just say with quilt, and you automatically get patching and unpatching of using quilt. No other modification of the rules file necessary. And again, that's implemented completely without any changes to DevHelper. So, the next interesting thing, yeah, they just keep coming, was uploaded during DevConf after significant testing, and it's called Build System Classes. And this is actually interesting to me because it's an enormous modification of Developer that I didn't write. It was written by this guy called Modestus Vinius, who may be in the audience, but I doubt it. And I don't know how to pronounce his name. Does anyone know how to pronounce his name? Because when I see that name, I can't help but think of Monty Python. Anyway, the Build System Classes are basically what you get from CDBS, except they're now in Developer, right? So you can ask the DHAuto commands to list which build systems they know about. And this is the current complete list. You know, AutoConf, various cool things, Makefiles, Python, CMake, Ant, maybe Sconce tomorrow.
No.
You know? No?
It should be forgotten and removed. Thank you.
And okay, the interesting thing about this list is it has to be in this order or things break horribly. And the way this works is when any of the auto commands go to build a package now, they say, well, which build system do I use? They figure it out by looking at which files you have in your source package, and those are all the files that are listed in parentheses. So if there's a configure script, it's probably an AutoConf package. If there's a build.xml, it's probably an ant package. If there's both, well, we'll assume it's an AutoConf package because otherwise we might break some unknown number of packages when we add ant support, which was done in an afternoon about a week ago. Now, the problem, of course, with just guessing is that you sometimes guess wrong. So this does let you override it, which can be really helpful with things like curl build, where there can be a build.pl file, there can also be a makefile.pl, and we'll guess that it's a maker package and possibly do the wrong thing. So the curl group, I hope, will start using this whenever they know it's a curl build or a module build package. The other nice thing about build system support is Modestus went in and taught all the DHAuto commands how to build from a different source directory in the top level directory and how to build into a different build directory, assuming that the build system supports it. Of course, AutoConf does, things like Perl build and that kind of thing don't. But if it is supported, you can build in a different directory and just nuke it easily at the end, like you might be familiar with doing without using DevHelper. So, third-party build systems can be added by writing another Perl module, and I'm happy with people doing that, especially if it's something really weird that I don't want to maintain. That would be great. The only problem is that DevHelper will not automatically go off and use your build system unless you do pass this build system switch. Otherwise, somebody could upload a build system that just broke everything, and I really don't want that to happen. So if you want it to be enabled by default, you do have to contribute it to me, and I'll figure out which order to check for it and things like that. Here's an example of a made-up build system, FooConfig. It works something like AutoConf. And this would be the complete implementation of that build system. So all we have to do is the check autobuildable subroutine, or actually method, this is object-oriented code, goes in and checks to see if there's a FooConfig file that's executable. And if so, when we're configuring in DHAutoConfigure, it just runs it, passes it parameters, and that's it. Now you might ask, what happens for actually building the package? What happens for cleaning the package or testing? The answer for that is, this is inheriting from the Makefile class. This is object-oriented, blah, blah, blah. So it works, apparently. You can just inherit the Makefile, and then when you run build, it will run. It will build using the Makefile that FooConfig presumably creates. So, you put all this together and you get something that is not entirely like DevHelper used to be, with all these weird switches and overrides and stuff like that. And it might look something like this, though I really hope not, because this is pretty over-the-top amount of stuff being used. But I do hope that these things will make DevHelper easier for people to use and result in shorter and easier to understand rules files and etc. And with that, I'll thank you for using DevHelper and open it up for questions. Enrico. Thanks.
One thing that I find quite interesting is that in the end, Deb Helber is doing like most of the work, but it gets invoked a lot of time during the build process, mm-hmm. and it always has to figure out where is stuff, what can it do, what it shouldn't, and mm-hmm. so on. So I wonder, I mean, it feels like to me we are pretty near the point where you can do, like, instead of hash bang make, yeah, mm-hmm. do hash bang developer, yeah. and then it figures out what's in Debian slash at the beginning, and then just do that little bit, which would make it insanely faster in theory.
Well,
but I don't know if that's in a to-do, if that's any...
I think that you're right that we're pretty near the point that it would be a pretty easy modification to do that. Of course, policy wouldn't allow you to do that because Debian rules does have to be a make file no matter how perverted and short it is, apparently. I don't know if it would really make it significantly faster because Deb Helper was, after all, written 11 years ago for machines that were a lot slower and does have a lot of wacky little optimizations in it to make it start up quickly and figure out where it's at fairly quickly. So you might save a couple of seconds, and it might be a shorter and more comprehensible rules file, but then again, I think that the way that we have overrides in here does sort of use make in a fairly sane way. It's a useful use of make. If Deb Helper were up at the top, we'd have to have some other way of doing these overrides, and that would involve re-implementing make, so... Any others?
A Deb Helper 7 module for doing Java packaging stuff.
Okay.
And a couple of questions about it. With these overrides, mm-hmm. can you override things which have been added through sequence add-ons?
Okay, yes, you can. You can override, using the overrides here, any command that DH happens to run, it will first go off and look to see if there's an override, and if so, it'll run the override instead. So yes, you can do that.
Okay, so when you're adding things into the sequence, you say add after dhpurl,
right.
and then you say remove dhpython support.
Right.
So the other part of my question is, can you do double dash with, quilt double dash with, and so on and so on, and include several different third-party add-ons?
Okay, so you're... Oh, yes, of course you
yeah.
can. You can use with as many times as you
what
can.
What if... the person writing the second one that gets included mm-hmm. is trying to put something after dhpurl, and for whatever reason, the first one you include has removed dhpurl.
Well, then obviously you have a problem, and those two people need to mm-hmm. sort that out. I can't really fix that problem without coming up with some much smarter way of figuring out where things go in the mm-hmm. sequence, you know, dependency-based or something like that. Hopefully that won't come up that often. I think that the need to actually remove a command should be pretty rare, unless two packages are conflicting like these two are, and in that case I think they have a problem of their own making.
And the last thing was, I've got a sort of absolutely minimal Java build system as part of the tools for this, which basically says, I've got a bunch of Java files, please put them in a jar. Mm-hmm. And I just call that, I've added it insert after DH auto build, and a file in Debian, it will do something, otherwise it won't.
Mm-hmm.
And is there any reason why I should write it as a build a build system
right.
class, and which then people have to explicitly mm-hmm, use mm-hmm, mm-hmm. rather than just saying with Java Helper, and then
right.
it just does it.
Well, I think it's up to you which one makes the most sense to use in a given case. The build system classes are useful in that you can use them even if someone isn't using DH. It's possible to use, if you don't like DH, you obviously don't have to use it, but you still might want to use DH auto build in your rules file just to let it take care of building for you, and so it's clear what's happening. And if in that case, if you have a build system, then DH auto build will actually know how to handle it. If you're using, you know, if you're using with to add something to the DH command sequence, then that won't happen. So that might be one reason. But it really is up to you which one makes sense. And there is a bit of overlap, clearly.
All right. I see here that that in Lenny we currently have deb helper 7015. Mm-hmm. So during the squeeze release cycle and development cycle, should we avoid using overrides because they're not in Lenny,
right.
or is this going to be added to a point release to Lenny or something like that?
Well, now I have given all the versions that you need, and of course you do need to make sure you build depend on those versions if you use one of these new features. As always, when a new feature is added to Deb Helper, people do wonder about this, and I generally hope that someone will backport it, but I can't really do anything more than hope, or possibly backport it myself, but I'm not going to try to get it into stable at this point. So it's sort of up to you whether you want to use these new features or wait a release cycle to do so. I'm personally using them in my packages because I think the minor pain of having to backport Deb Helper is more than made up for by actually being able to use new features when they come out.
Well, already we can at least use the...
You can already use the DH stuff.
The DH stuff and the sequence add-ons at least, right?
You can use sequence add-ons. Of course, yeah. You can't use sequence add-ons that have been added to unstable in another package.
Right, right.
You also have to, when you use a sequence add-on, figure out what package is providing that and depend on that package.
The makefile override thing is parsed by Perl, I guess.
Yep.
So that would mean that you have to be a bit careful about how to specify them?
No. It turns out the way we figure out that there are overrides in the makefile is by asking make to list all the targets that are provided by the makefile. Now, make doesn't have a really elegant way to do this. It's possible that its output might change, but any valid make file will work. You could even, I'm not sure if you could include another file and use overrides in that one if make would tell that those targets are available or not. I have to check. But you can use all kinds of make constructs in here. There's no parsing of this going on that is fragile or anything like that.
That actually surprises me because I was told for a very long time that the reason we don't have was impossible to do.
Well.
So it's not.
It's apparently not. It's not pretty to do. It'd be nice if make just had a really easy way to test if a rule was in a file, but it's not there. I can show you the code if you're interested.
Maybe I'm not.
It's really grody. Yeah.
Okay.
It involves running make in debug mode and parsing its debug mode output.
Right.
Anybody else? Okay.
Is it possible to use DH for packages that build multiple binary packages with different configure options?
Ah, that's a good question. Currently, if you want to do that, you'll have to manually override DH configure and DH auto configure and DH auto build and run those yourself, and DH auto install and install it in yourself, probably. There was a bug report filed yesterday with some suggestions in this area. I don't think it actually completely covers that case, though. So if you're doing something, you know, really out of the ordinary like that, well, potentially a little bit out of the ordinary like that, I'll say, you do have to override it and do it by hand. But I think that's really okay because you'll end up with a rules file that will pretty clearly show what you've had to do, and it's probably not any worse than beforehand, I hope. So.
Do you expect DH to kill off CDBS?
Good question. Don't know. I guess I'll look at the graph in a year or so and see if people are just switching from Deb Helper to CDBS or if they're switching from CDBS to DH or what. Personally, I would prefer that when I edit a rules file, it use Deb Helper or DH or something like this, and not CDBS or IATA or something like that. But I'm not going to try to dictate to the project what they should do. I'm just going to provide the tool, and if you want to use it, there it is. Colin?
My question's a CDBS one too.
Go ahead.
The abstract specifically says how it can be better than CDBS. So
I haven't really addressed that, have I?
Exactly what you think the differences are and why you don't like CDBS, et cetera.
So. So this is one way of looking at Deb Helper and DH and CDBS and comparing them. And what I like to do is just look at what I think of as the visible surface area of a command. Now, I realize this slide is really scary, especially if you're in the back of the room, and it's sort of meant to be. This is all the things that you might need to know if you're using Deb Helper in a rules file. You have to know all these strings, what they do, when to use them, etc. Now, of course, we have some long options, we have some short options, we have some environment variables, we have some package control files in the Debian directory, and then we have some commands. And that's the interface to Deb Helper, right? Here's the interface to CDBS. Now you have to be about here to see it, right? We have some make files, fragments that you need to include. You might not need to include all of these, but most of them are things you might need. We have some options, about 150, I don't know, a lot, that you might want to use at some point if you can figure out what they do, if they're documented, if they don't change what they do tomorrow. Some of these are semi-internal-ish. A few of them are probably completely wrong and you would never want to use them, but it's really hard to tell. And some of them are very well documented in the manual. And then down here at the bottom, you have a couple of minor changes that you might want to make to your rules file to run other commands and things like that. So when we look at DH, this is the visible surface area. Now, of course, this is added on top of Deb Helper, but then so is CDBS. It's 153 items plus the 100-odd items from Deb Helper that you might want to need to know, because you can mix and match. Now, in DH, we're adding 12 items. We have overrides. We have a few commands. We have a few options. So I think it's really elegant that I was able to do it with this little, if I say so myself, that I was able to do it with this few addition to the visible surface area. So that's personally why I think the DH is better than CDBS. It's up to you to decide. I think Jonas is going to have a comment now.
I must say we looked a bit on that specific one together.
Yeah, I did give you advance warning of
this. And actually, I must say, could you switch back to the ugly one?
Yeah. How completely wrong is
this? I did spot one of them in the middle, around the middle somewhere. I don't remember which one it was. That Deb Helper does not support.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. CDBS has an option that Deb Helper does not support.
They're okay? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are options in here.
Yeah, that's right. That's the auto update.
There are options.
The one that is illegal to use.
Right. I wonder why Deb Helper doesn't support that. Is that really the only thing that CDBS does that Deb Helper doesn't support? Because if so, gosh, you've got a big interface for that one thing. So, you know, when I think about this, I like to think of this. Now, when you're building a ship in a bottle, you need all kinds of specialized little tools to reach in through the neck of the bottle and lift the sails up and then attach the rigging. And, you know, you need a little tool to adjust that cannon just right and all these things. And there they are, right? Now, granted, we are building, we could say, well, there's lots of tools here, but the fact is this is a whole workshop of tools that's out there for you to do whatever you want to mash around with. These things are all reaching in through the neck of the bottle of environment variables settings and making changes to that ship in there. And sure, it looks really pretty when you're done with it, but gosh, it's really complicated to get there. So, Colin.
I just checked, you've been working on Deb Helper for about 12 years now, yeah. I think. And, you know, free software development is always kind of incremental, and you do what's needed at the time. But I'm interested to know if you have a sort of end goal in sight. Are you ever going to stop and work on something else, or are you going to declare Deb Helper done, or is it something that you see as always evolving to meet the needs of Debian?
You know, the end goal for Deb Helper was actually accomplished like 7 years ago. The end goal was, let's make the rules files a little bit prettier and easier to understand, hopefully, and, you know, easier to make broad changes to large swaths of packages by changing one thing instead of having to modify a lot of rules files. And that was accomplished, and I thought I was done. And then in the past year and a half, I thought, well, gosh, there's this CDBS thing, and it's really showing that there's a need to do something else. So thank you, Jonas, for that. Thank you very much for showing that there's a need and demonstrating it in a way that made me actually have to do something. am I going to continue to be interested in this? I don't know. Somehow it has remained interesting. I think it's because working with DebHelper is a great way to completely destroy Debian by accident. And that's the kind of thing that can be interesting. I actually had to do full distribution regression testing to test the build systems option, which I've never done when I've added something to DebHelper before, believe it or not. And I did find one or two packages that were broken by the new system, but I actually thought it was worth putting it in and just filing a couple of bugs. And unfortunately, one problem with the new build systems and with DH is that they have some, they have a lot of very specific things encoded in them, like the order that, in which you run commands. And if you change that order, you can break untold numbers of packages now. So I have all kinds of ways to break Debian by accident now. So maybe I'll be interested in it for another 10 years. Who knows?
Well, I think the decision what will be used, DebHelper or the CDBS, will be done by the documentation. And it is not really hard to be have a better documentation than CDBS. I was always fighting with it. And I'm really, really happy that I see now these very easy rules files.
Well, as far as the documentation goes, there is a man page for DH. Can you see that in the back? I'll make it a bit bigger. There is a man page, and it has some little examples at the bottom, some, you know, which I basically just reused in this talk. And I think that if you read that, you pretty much understand enough of it to use it. Or if you just read a couple of rules files, you'll probably understand it. So I hope that that's enough. If not, maybe I should turn this talk into a bit more documentation.
Just a small comment about documentation. When I read about your new DH work last year, I said, oh, cool. So I tried to actually migrate my small, really small package to it, and I couldn't find anything similar to a how-to or a really, really simple, you have to do this.
Yeah,
this is the equivalent of this.
Yeah.
For example, patching. I'm still trying to find out how to do the patching.
Are you talking about quilt patching or just generic patching?
Applying patches to to the source of the...
By hand, in the rules file, basically. Yeah, and I mean, the way you would do that is you would probably go into your rules file and make an actual build rule and a clean rule of your own. Or you could override DH auto build and DH auto clean and put the patching in before that, but it's a little... I don't know if you'd want to do that. You'd probably just go back to the older style rules file that has all the targets explicitly in there, and then do the patching by hand that way. I think that would be the way to go. I think it's okay to not use this really short stuff if your rules file is doing something a little bit out of the ordinary, which patching sort of is, because there's no established way to do it except for using quilt. Of course, if you switch to using quilt, it's very easy. You say with quilt, and then you put your patches in the right place, and it all works. Now, as far as your broader point about the documentation, yeah, I think it'd be great if somebody wrote a little tutorial. Here's, you know, your typical rules file and some things in it, and here's how it looks when you convert it over to DebHelper V7 and DH and all the other new things.
Yeah, or just a wiki page with a list of packages using DebHelper.
Yeah,
DH?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good idea.
That will be great.
I have
great.
The list right here, so yeah.
Thanks.
Well, now that we seem to be converging a bit on quilt for patching, wouldn't it be possible to just check for a Debian patches series file and then assume it's quilt and
right.
try to do that? Because otherwise, I mean, that seemed to be the most overridden thing, which you...
Right.
Is there any plans for that?
Well, it is the most used with flag. On the other hand, I like the fact that there were no changes made to DebHelper to implement that. And I'm hoping that we get a source format that actually natively supports quilt that's actually supported in the archive. So I'm sort of reluctant to make DebHelper have some kind of special quilt feature in it at this point, because, you know, it'll be temporary and it'll be more cruft. Speaking of cruft, there are a few false steps that I made when I was implementing DH. There are some flags before and after and things like that that you can pass to DH to control which part of the sequence it runs, and those are all basically cruft at this point because they turned out not to work very well. So this, I really need to stress that this is an evolving thing. I've been talking with, for example, Sam Hartman's, and he's pointed out a couple of cases where the emulation of make, the emulation of make that DH does isn't exactly right, and you might run a target and DH just says, oh, we've already done that, just like as if there's a stamp file for every target, which can be really annoying if you want to run Debian rules binary twice in a row to see if your change has made the change that you want to make. And so I really think this is still evolving. There'll probably be some minor tweaks. There might be a new compatibility level that changes some things. Who knows? I just want to stress that because it's obviously, thank you. This is obviously still a work in progress. Anybody else?
Hello. This is all very good. I like this. Have you noticed that the dpkg now supports dpkg vendor, which is a mechanism for building all sorts of derivatives?
Hadn't noticed that.
And having done a lot of rules file patching over the last few years, we've found that by far the easiest way to make things work is if the meta build systems actually support the changes you want to make, rather than changing a million rules files in the same way. And I'm just wondering whether you've looked at or thought about how this stuff might use, you know, effectively a dpkg vendor override, like dpkg architecture, to say we're building this flavor and automatically do the right stuff.
Right. I have to admit I haven't even heard about the DH override vendor or whatever it's called. I think it was mentioned to me earlier this morning, but I haven't really been following the list too much, so you'll have to bring things to my attention directly if you want me to know about them, if there's something that isn't, you know, directly impacting DevHelper, obviously. I guess there is some possible, you know, way to make DevHelper and DH do the right thing magically if this is set, and maybe we can look at doing that. Of course, you still then have to deal with all the rules files that don't use this and that never will, and, you know, which is going to continue probably forever. I think we're going to have the old style rules files until the end of time, and I think that's perfectly okay. I don't have any problem with them.
Yeah, I mean, the advantage, obviously, an awful lot of stuff does use DebHelper, and then if DebHelper just does the right thing,
and I mean,
the maintainers don't need to care, which is exactly what we all want, really.
Yeah, and if you can get it down to one DebHelper command or a few DebHelper commands that need to be modified to do the right thing, then it's much easier. If it's a matter of, oh, we want to go and insert, say we're building for Ubuntu, we want to go insert a new DebHelper command in the sequence automatically type thing, then that gets a little bit more iffy because, you know, DH sequences aren't going to be used for all packages, so that's only solving, 9% of your problem. So,
I guess basically anybody who cares about this should come and talk to me and Joey and people. There'll be an MDebian boff later, which is maybe one place to talk about this. I don't know if there's a better venue, probably not.
Is that it? Okay, well, thank you all.